The following message is from Jeff Shreve, pastor of First Baptist Church, Texarkana, Texas, and From His Heart Ministries.
How many in here have ever prayed and prayed and prayed for God to do something that you thought was a good thing, that you thought was going to bring glory to God, and you just knew that this is something God wants to happen, and you prayed and it didn't happen? Raise your hand. Okay, is there anybody in here who's never had that experience? I'd like to see your hand because I want some prayers to mention to you to put me down on your prayer list. You know, all of us have had that experience. When I was in college and I was a growing Christian, I asked the Lord and I prayed believing for God to do something in my life that I thought was going to be a great thing, that I thought was going to bring glory to God, and He didn't do it. He didn't answer my prayer. When I got out of college and I was a deacon in my church in Houston, I was teaching a Sunday school class. We had a couple in our class, a young couple, and they were having their first baby. And they were so excited, Jared and Terry Latham. They were so excited. And then they found out that their baby had a heart problem. And the doctors told them, this baby's not going to make it. You need to abort this baby. And they said, well, we'd never do that. We could not do that. And they told the church, and we prayed, the whole church prayed, and they brought them down front and laid hands on Jared and Terry and that baby in her womb, and we prayed for them, and we believed God for healing, and that baby was born, and the heart was not healed. That baby just lived a few hours and then died. It was a difficult funeral to go to with that little casket there. Why does God not answer my prayer? That's a good question. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, we read this verse. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you, tell you great and mighty things that you do not know, which you do not know. Now, how many believe that scripture, Jeremiah 33? God says, call to me and I'll answer you. Well, you know, we raise our hands and we say, God says, call to me and I'll answer you. And we believe that, yet all of us had our hands raised practically who said, I prayed and God didn't answer. Those things don't seem to line up. Hey, why doesn't God answer my prayer? I want to present to you four reasons why God sometimes does not answer us in the way that we think He should, in the way we want Him to. Four reasons. Reason number one, you know, you may not be getting through to Him. Why doesn't God answer your prayer? Well, maybe you're not getting through to Him. Have you ever had the experience? I had this experience, a lot when I travel from Texarkana to Houston, where all of a sudden you hit a patch and your cell phone doesn't work. It tends to be for me in between Atlanta and Linden and Jefferson and all that. My cell phone just doesn't, it just kind of cuts out. And you try and call and it says no service. You just can't get through, can't get through. That happens in different areas where your cell phone just won't work. It doesn't pick up a good signal. Well, the same thing can happen in prayer. And maybe one of the reasons why your prayers aren't getting answered is because you're not getting a good connection with God. See, perhaps you're not related to Him. Lots of people pray and they don't get the prayers answered. And one of the big reasons they don't get the prayers answered is because they're not related to God. Jesus, when His disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught His disciples to pray, He gave them the model prayer, what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer begins, the model prayer begins, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Our Father. Is God your Father? You say, well, of course He's my Father. He's everyone's Father. It's not what Jesus said. Jesus said to the Jews in John chapter 8 who didn't believe in Him, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. Those guys weren't children of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that without Christ, we're children of wrath, even as the rest. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received him, received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You're not just born into this world automatically a child of God. You're born into this world automatically a child of wrath. You have to receive Christ in order to become a child of God. And maybe one of the reasons your prayers aren't being answered is because you've never received Christ and you're not connected to him. You're not related to him. How many in this room believe that you could call tonight George W. Bush, President of the United States, and get him on the phone? Anybody in here think, well, I can get him on the phone tonight. I can get him on the phone before the end of this service. Nobody. I couldn't. You couldn't. I know two girls in their 20s that could, Jenna Bush and Barbara Bush. They could get their dad just like that. He's dad to them, and they can get a hold of him. And see, some people's prayers aren't answered because God is not their father. They've never been born again. And perhaps that's true of you. And the good news is you can be born again, and you can be born again tonight, and you can be connected to God. But, you know, another reason that the prayers don't go up and they don't connect and we don't get through, it's not that we don't know him. It's not that we're not related to him. It's that we're not right with him. We're not right with God. Look what Isaiah said in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Your sins can cut you off from God so that he will not hear you. He will not listen. He'll just say no service for you because of your sins. Psalm 66 verse 18. The psalmist said this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I let sin have a place in my heart, unconfessed, unrepented of sin, if I just give it a place in my heart, and then I come with that sin in my heart before the Lord and I ask him for things, God says, I'm not going to hear that prayer because you're sinning against me. And you are holding on to some filthy sin and you have the audacity to come before me and to ask me to bless you, to ask me to work in your life when you're not willing to give up that thing that I hate so much, that thing that caused my son, God says, to die upon the cross. If you and I have a regard for sin, if we hold on to sin, if we won't confess sin and repent of sin, God says, I won't hear your prayer. I won't answer your prayer. I will not hear you. You know, one of the biggest sins that we commit is the sin of bitterness, the sin of unforgiveness. And Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, hey, if you don't forgive men when they sin against you, when they transgress against you, then neither will your Father forgive you when you sin against him. And many of us have bitterness that we've allowed to get in our hearts because somebody has hurt us and somebody has done something terrible to us, and we hold on to that, and that cuts us off from God. That causes no service on the prayer phone. And God says, you need to get that right, so that I can hear, so that the line can be clear, and so that you and I can get together and that we can connect to him. So the first possible reason that God doesn't answer your prayer may be that you're not getting through to him. Reason number two, you may not be praying according to his will. According to his will. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says this, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Praying according to his will. I heard of a woman who was having such difficulty in her marriage. She and her husband would just fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. Finally, she couldn't take it anymore. And she told her husband one day, she said, I just can't take all this fighting anymore. And she said, I'm praying that God just kills one of us, takes one of us to heaven. And after God answers my prayer, moving in with my sister. That was her prayer. And is that according to the will of God? God, kill him. I don't think so. See, we pray a lot of things, and it's not according to the will of God. Now, sometimes we don't know the will of God. We don't, especially when it comes to sickness. We don't know what God wants to do. We pray, and we trust God, and we believe his word, and we say, Lord, heal my loved one. Lord, heal my friend. Lord, heal this person of this disease, this cancer, this whatever it might be. And we see God do that sometimes, and we see God not do that sometimes. On those kinds of things, you and I don't know. David didn't know. He prayed for his baby that was born out of wedlock, and God says, because of your sin, David, with Bathsheba, that child is going to die. But David prayed for that child and prayed for that child and prayed for that child. Even though God said he's going to die, David still prayed. And you know why David prayed? The servant said to him, David, why did you pray like that? Why did you do those things? He said, because I said to myself, who knows? Maybe God will have mercy. Maybe God will relent. Maybe God will work a miracle there and have mercy on me. Who knows? So a lot of times we don't really know. But one thing that we do know when it comes to God and his will is that God's a good God. And God is a good parent and a good father. And a good father doesn't always give his children everything they ask for. If you, as a parent, give your child everything he asks for, you're not a good parent, because your children will ask for things that aren't good for them. I don't want to eat my dinner, Mom. I just want to have ice cream. Yes, dear. I don't want to clean my room. I just want to live in filth. Yes, dear. I don't want to do my homework. I just want to be a bonehead all my life. Yes, dear. Just go ahead and do that. Well, we wouldn't be good parents if we did that. So lots of times in the home, we have to say as good parents, no. Child asks you for something, you say, no. God says no. Sometimes God says no because we're asking him for things that aren't according to his will, that wouldn't be good for us, things that he doesn't want to do. And so sometimes God says no. Now, when we say, you know, God, why do you not answer my prayer? Well, God says, I did answer that prayer. I said no. I said no. That is an answer. But, you know, when we talk about why doesn't God answer my prayer, why doesn't he answer it the way I want him to answer it? That's kind of what we're thinking. You know, with this matter of God saying no, you're not alone if God has said no to you. He said no to me before. He said no to Paul. You remember Paul, who was taken up into heaven, Paul, who was shown things that just would blow your mind of what God has in store, what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And God took Paul up into the third heaven and showed him those things. And along with the surpassing greatness of the revelations, Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh to keep me from exalting myself. God gave him something very painful, something that Paul did not like, something that he didn't want. We don't know what it is. I have a sneaking suspicion it had to do with his eyes and not being able to see very well, but we don't know for sure. But whatever it was, Paul didn't want it. And he prayed, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, he says, concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And God said, no. No, I'm not going to take this away from you, Paul. Because he had a better plan. And see, although sometimes God says no, every time God's way is best. And what God said to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in response to Paul's three prayers, Lord, take this thorn from me, take this thorn from me, take this thorn from me. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in weakness. Paul didn't know that. He didn't understand that. He heard that from God. This is a gift that I am giving you, Paul, that makes you weak. that will allow my strength to shine through you. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And God's answer to him, Lord, take this thorn from me, was no, because I'm using this in a greater way in your life. I'm using this to shine through you, to shine through you like the sun. You know, when I think of this passage in Scripture and this situation in Paul's life, it causes me to think of Johnny Erickson and Johnny Erickson's prayers. You remember Johnny Erickson, who had the diving accident in the 60s and broke her neck and was a quadriplegic. And she prayed and she said, God, heal me. And God said, no. And then she prayed and she said, God, kill me. And God said, no. And then she said, God, if you can't kill me, if you won't let me die, then show me how to live as a quadriplegic. And God said, that is the prayer I want to answer. And God showed her how to live. And God did exactly what he did in Paul's life. He said, no, because I'm going to use this. My power is going to be perfected in and through your weakness. And you know, a miracle of God healing her neck wouldn't have been anything for God to do, and it would have brought glory and honor to God back in the 60s, but we wouldn't be talking about it today in 2008. But we're still talking about Johnny Erickson, and she has a ministry, and she has power in her life from God to speak to people who are hurting, to speak to people who have difficulties, to speak to people who have problems, to say, listen, if God can do this in me, a quadriplegic, and give me joy, and give me peace, and give me purpose, and give me a ministry, and give me impact in people's lives, what can he do in you? See, God gets more glory when we're weak. Because as he told Paul, when you're weak, my power is perfected in you. So maybe your prayer is not according to the will of God. Maybe you're asking God for something and he keeps saying no, 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 no. Maybe you need to change your prayer in a matter. You know, when we were praying for Dorothy Sutton, dear lady in our church, and Tommy Sutton, what a great friend and man of God. And when we were praying for God to heal her, you know, she was sick for almost 6 months in the hospital with various infections and diseases and things, and just wasn't getting any better. As we prayed for God to heal her, I would tell Tommy, I said, now, Tommy, God may want to do something else in this situation. So we need to leave things open for God to do whatever he wants to do. And if he chooses to heal her, that's what we want. That's what we're praying for. But that's God's business. We can't bring that about. We just believe him for it. But he may want to do something else. And so we just have to trust her to God. And so maybe in your prayer, maybe you're asking for something and God keeps saying, no, 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 no. And one of the reasons you're not getting the answer that you want is God saying, that is not what I want for you. So change your prayer as Johnny changed her prayer from Lord, heal me to Lord, kill me to Lord, show me how to live as a quadriplegic. And that was the prayer that God wanted to answer. Reason number three, why doesn't God answer my prayer? Why doesn't he answer your prayer? Well, you may not be believing God will answer. You may not be believing he'll answer. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 21, verse 22. He said, in all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Believing, you shall receive. When you pray, you're to believe. Now, the reverse of that is praying to God and not believing. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When we pray, we have to believe God is going to answer. Pray, believe, and you'll receive. Pray and doubt, you do without. Because God has made it clear, if you come to me and you don't believe me, I'm not going to answer your prayer. Let not that man expect to receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Pastor came to D.L. Moody one day. Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist of the 1800s, the one that God used in such a great way. He was kind of the Billy Graham of his day. And he would share the gospel and preach the gospel, and people would come by the hundreds to receive Christ. Well, a pastor came to him and said, "Mr. Moody, how come when I preach, I don't see people come and receive Christ and get their lives right with Christ, and I'm just not seeing any fruit, and you preach, and the people just come, and I preach, and nobody comes?" And D.L. Moody said to him, "How many do you expect to come?" He said, "Well, nobody." And he said, "That's your problem. That's your problem. You're not believing that God's going to bring anybody, and you're not praying, believing that God is going to work and God is going to answer." Man came to Jesus one day, actually to Jesus' disciples first. He had a demon-possessed boy, and he came to his disciples that they would cast out the demon from his son. And the Bible says his disciples could not cast it out. Now, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He came down off that mountain. He found them, the disciples, with this man and this boy. And he said, "What's going on here?" And the man said, "I came to the disciples to cast out the demon out of my boy, and they were unable." And Jesus said, "Oh, foolish men, oh, unbelieving men, how long will I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring that boy to me." And then he began to ask the man, "How long has this boy been like that?" And the man said to Jesus, he said, "If you can do anything, help us. If you can do anything, help us." And Jesus said, "What's this if stuff? What's this if you can do anything? All things are possible to him who believes." And the man said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." But before the Lord did anything for this man, before he cast out that demon, he got on that dad, because he said, "Don't take the if out of your prayers. Don't look to me with a big if, a big question mark, saying, 'God, I don't know if you're able to do this.' All things are possible to him who believes." You and I need to pray and believe God. We need to take promises from this book and bring them to the Lord and say, "Lord, you promised in your word, and Lord, I'm trusting your word." And we need to be like Abraham. Abraham, who got the promise from God that he was going to have a son, even though his wife was way past childbearing age. He was going to have a son, and he held to that promise, and he clung to that promise year after year after year after year. It was about 30 years before he saw the fulfillment of that promise. And the Bible says, in hope against hope, he believed. And he didn't waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, being convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And you and I need to have that kind of belief. And maybe one of the reasons that you're not seeing your prayer answered is because deep down, you don't believe God's going to answer. You don't believe God is able, and you're just going through the motions, but you're not connected in your heart, and you're not connected with faith. Well, the fourth reason, and one of the biggest reasons, that we don't see God answer our prayer: you may not be persisting in prayer. Persisting in prayer. See, oftentimes we pray and pray and pray and pray and quit. "Oh, God didn't answer my prayer, so I quit. I quit praying about that. God's not answering that. I just quit." So many of us, we want to microwave God. We want God to just I mean, you throw in a prayer request, you pop it in the microwave, and you hit 1 minute, and like popcorn, it just comes out. Wow, this is cool. You know, we want God to be some type of heavenly slot machine where you just dump in the quarters in prayer, you pull the handle, and out comes all this money, all these answers. And you just say, that's the way it should work. It doesn't work that way. God hasn't set it up that way. God loves it when we pray and 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 never quit. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to quit, not to give up, not to throw in the towel. Now, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 11, I want you to see a parable that Jesus told about prayer that's such an encouragement to you and to me that we need to persist in our prayers. Luke chapter 11, I'll begin reading in verse 5. Jesus is talking about prayer. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside, he shall answer. I mean, it's midnight. He shall answer and say, do not bother me. Shoo, fly, don't bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Go away. I tell you, verse 8, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. His persistence makes the difference. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. You know, we've heard that verse a lot. And when the scripture says in verse 10 about asking, seeking, and knocking, those are continual verbs. Literally what it says is ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. That's what that guy did in the parable. Hey, I need you to get up and give me 3 loaves. I've had some friends come in. No, don't bother me. He just kept knocking, kept knocking. Well, go away. No, I'm not going away. You come, you help me. You're my friend. And he didn't stop knocking. And Jesus said that guy, he didn't get up because he was his friend. He got up because of his persistence. And God, there's something about God. He loves it when we persist in prayer, when we just keep on and keep on and keep on. And listen, don't get the idea that prayer is somehow overcoming God's reluctance. It's not. God wants to do these things. But prayer is entering into his willingness, and God has a purpose in delaying his answers, and that purpose is to help us and to grow us and to strengthen us. I ran across this story not too long ago. It said this, a man was sleeping one night when suddenly his room filled with light and God appeared. And the Lord told the man he had work for him to do. The Lord showed him a large rock in front of his house. And he explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. So the man did this day after day. For many years he toiled, sun up to sundown, his shoulders squarely set against the cold, massive surface of the rock. And he pushed with all his might. And each night the man returned to his house sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. Well, after time he began to get discouraged. And the devil moved in and told him that he was wasting his time, that he was getting nowhere. He said, look at that rock. That rock hasn't moved 1 centimeter. And that he needed to quit. And the man was so discouraged and so forlorn, he was about to quit. And he thought, well, before I throw in the towel, before I quit, I'll ask God about it. And he prayed one last time. And he said, Lord, I've labored long and hard in your service, and I've been putting all my strength to do that which you asked me. Yet after all this time, I've not even budged that rock by 1/2 inch. What's wrong? Why am I failing? And the Lord responded and said, when I asked you to serve me, you accepted the challenge. And I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength. and that you've done. Never once did I mention that I expected you to move that rock. Your task was to push it. That's all. And now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking you failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong. Your back is strong. Your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you've grown a lot. Your physical abilities now surpass that which you used to have. And the man could see that it was so. And God said, true, you haven't moved the rock. That's because your calling was to be obedient, to push the rock, and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. And God said, that you have done, and now I will move the rock. By all means, in your life, in my life, we're to exercise faith, the faith that moved mountains. But we must remember that it's God who moves the mountains. And when everything seems to go wrong, you and I just need to push. And when your money seems to run out and there's not enough to pay your bills, you need to push. And when your relationships seem to be failing and your marriage seems to be going down the tubes, you and I need to push. And when everything goes wrong, we just need to push. Pray until something happens. You pray and pray and pray and pray, and you ask and keep asking, and you seek and keep seeking, and you knock and you keep knocking. And Jesus said it's because of persistence that the man in the parable will get up and help his friend at the door. And he said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And don't quit asking him, and don't throw in the towel on prayer. One of the greatest privileges we have as children of God is to come boldly before the throne of grace and to sit in our Father's lap and to pray and to intercede and find grace to help in time of need and to pray for ourselves and to pray for other people. And so often we don't pray. Jesus told a parable in Luke 18 about prayer, and he ended the parable this way. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I believe what that means is, will he find faithfulness in prayer? Will he find his children praying when he comes? Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you believing God? Or have you thrown in the towel and say, this doesn't matter. This doesn't mean anything. God is not answering. God will answer, but you have to be connected to him. You have to make sure your heart is right with him. You have to, first of all, make sure that you know him and that you've received him as Lord and Savior. And as a believer, you can't let sin get in your heart. You have to confess it. We all sin. We all blow it. But you got to confess it, and you have to get things right. And you have to pray according to his will. And if you're praying wrong, maybe you just need to say, God, maybe I'm missing this thing. Maybe I'm not praying right about this issue in my life. Lord, you guide me. You direct me. I want to pray the right prayer. God, I want to see you answer. I want to believe you for big and mighty and great things. And Lord, I want to be one who doesn't ever quit.
You've been listening to Pastor Jeff Shreve of First Baptist Church and From His Heart Ministries. For a complete listing of Pastor Shreve's messages, check out our website at www.fromhisheart.org. Log on today.